You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Mick Norton, Rory DeLaghi and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's day five of Glorious Goodwood. We've also got a good card at Newmarket. There's racing at Doncaster and Thirsk alongside that in the afternoon. It's Hamilton and Lingfield in the evening and another day of the Galway Festival. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you, Mark.
Good. Glad to hear it. How are you? What's going on? What's new in the world of James Millman?
New in the world. I'm trying to get a job, is what's happening, Mark Walton. Had a intense apprentice-style interview at a law firm the other day, so I don't know how that went.
Yeah.
Asked me a lot of difficult questions.
Apprentice-style interview.
It was basically, what have you done with your life? why did you waste it being a jockey? But, we'll find out shortly. I've not been told yes or no, but... That's what's going on in my world at the moment. But the racing world, good to see Glorious Goodwood in action, or the Qatar Festival, whatever you want to call it now. Hughesy, nice to see him get off the mark yesterday. Final week for him riding. I think he's going to find a little bit of a shock, I think, to be honest, because obviously this is what he's been doing for the past 20-odd years. And it's very strange when you have your last ride. You know you're not going to be out there again. And he's obviously got this training career that he wants to concentrate on. But I'll say... I find it hard enough watching some of my dad's horses running here, and I would do things differently. And as trainer, I think he might find he's quite harsh in his jockeys. We'll see. Sometimes jockeys can be very, ex-jockeys can be understanding, sometimes they're not. But I'll say new career and good luck to him.
You don't strike me as an understanding ex-jockey. Any mistake, you'd be straight on top of it, wouldn't you?
I express an opinion. This is what I do. I say, maybe you should have done that. Why didn't you?
Yeah.
But it's tough because obviously... You've been there, you've done that. How many winners have you ridden? I've not ridden anywhere near as many as Richard Hughes, but I can at least answer I've ridden some.
Yeah.
Whereas a trainer that's never actually sat on a horse has probably got slightly less validation, but I'll say I do give an opinion. If they've not won, they could always do something different.
Yeah. Was your last ride was a winning one?
My last one was a winning one.
Yeah. Did it make you want to change your mind when you crossed the line in front?
No, because I was lucky to get that one there. 48 rated individual won a maiden in December at Lingfield, one of those very high quality maidens, but it was good because family bred it, and it was just nice to end up on a winning note, and I'd say couldn't ask for a better day than that.
Richard Hughes will be hoping for the same on Saturday. We'll move on to Saturday's action shortly, but let's just take a quick look back at Thursday. Some big racing on Thursday. The Goodwood Cup was one of the features, and he went the way of Big Orange, who's shown market improvement in his last couple of starts.
Cracking finish, wasn't it? We had a three-way photo of Big Orange, Quest for More and Trip to Paris. Unfortunately for me, the Naps table, I went for Quest for More, and that probably made a difference, made him get beat a neck, because keep getting seconds or whatever at the minute in the Naps table. But no, Big Orange, lovely, big, strong horse, well named. A little bit disappointing at the start of the season, but getting a win at Newmarket in the Princess of Wales 3 weeks ago really sparked him back into life. And like I say, his size probably helped him, because he's about a hand bigger than his rivals, and he just stretched out to hold on under Jamie Spencer. A very good ride from Jamie. Obviously, we generally moan and criticise perhaps Jamie doesn't quite get there in time. That was a classic front-running ride, and really showcased Jamie's talents, and good job he didn't retire at the end of last year. Trip to Paris, I thought he ran very well, backed up his Gold Cup form. He did nothing wrong, like I say, getting beat a neck and a short head under his £4 penalty was an absolutely cracking effort. Quest for More, Northumberland Plate winner, up into the group races, and he certainly showed he's capable of being successful. Interesting to see how he gets on in the Ebor off 109. I think he's going to have a cracking chance there. So really, really fascinating Goodwood Cup, and great to see.
Yeah, right horses finished in the right places, really, didn't they? Look strong form.
Definitely.
A couple of other group races on the card as well. We had the Richmond Stakes, which went the way of the market leader Shalar for John Gosden and Frankie Dettori. Won relatively comfortably in the end as well.
he looks good, doesn't he? Mm. A little bit of a screw loose when he actually made his first couple of starts. Well beaten in a valuable conditions race at Newbury on day. I think he finished last. And luckily, just went in the stalls when he won his maiden at Newmarket. I think he probably, Frankie and John Gosden connection meant that the stall handlers and the stalls team gave him a little bit more chance. But he's really started growing up. Rab Havin obviously rode him to win the Group 2 July Stakes when Frankie deserted him. But Frankie back on board, and he really looked a very, very decent type. He had a £3 penalty, yet hacked along in front and quickly went clear. He beat some useful horses, steady paces. It was a real solid guide back in third. He was only a length behind the winner at Newmarket, four lengths behind yesterday. Suggests that Shalar is really improving. Al-Shakab Racing, the sponsors of the meeting, will be really pleased to get another winner, another two-year-old winner as well. And like I say, John Gosden's already nominated the Commonwealth Cup next year. Is his kind of main target to keep him to sprint distances. And I think he's a really fascinating horse.
The other group race on the card was the Group 3 Markle Insurance Filly Stakes. That was the Lily Langtree Stakes. Went the way of Simple Verse.
Yeah, the only three-year-old in the race, I think. And Harry Bentley, a rare ride for his old employers, Qatar Bloodstock. Good to get a winner for them, for Rafe Beckett on Simple Verse. Hard to see beforehand. She was only rated 88 coming into this race, but she got a stone off her older rivals, and that could well have made a difference with Hidden Gold and Jordan Princess filling the places. But Rafe Beckett, he's very good with his fillies, as we know. Those Oaks wins with Talent and Co. And like I say, Simple Verse, another filly he's trained expertly well.
Mm. Anything else to note to you on the Thursday?
Just thought I'd say, good to see Richard Hughes get off the mark, because I think it's proven to be a little bit of a frustrating week. And great to see Andrea Arazzani get a double, because he got a very unfortunate 8-day ban for riding one of Amanda Perrott's two-year-olds, which he felt wasn't quite right, so just eased off completely and let her coast home in her own time. Didn't ask her a question, just let her count her back, and she's actually come back sound, yet the HA decided to give him an 8-day ban because he felt he should have pulled her up. But there wasn't anything obviously imminently wrong. He didn't force her to do anything that she didn't want to do, and I think that's very, very harsh. The trainer, Amanda Perrott, has come out and said that it was a very poor decision, and I'll say, hopefully Andrea appeals it, because he's actually got 2 weeks off, because he picked up a bit of a ban on postponed in the King George. I think got 6 days there and another 8 days there, 2 weeks off a track. It's a hefty ban there for Andrea, and I think that wasn't warranted, that second one.
Mm. Okay, well, let's leave that there. Let's move on to Saturday's action. James is going to look at the first four races for us on the final day of Glorious Goodwood.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We start in the 2 o'clock at Goodwood. This one is the Stewards Sprint Stakes, which is a handicap. It's a consolation race for the Stewards Cup, a Class 2 event over 6 furlongs for three-year-olds and older. Plenty of them in the lineup here, 28 of them to go to post. And the market headed by Direct Times, who's 6-1. 12s for Charles Molson, Major Jack and Rex Imperator are also 12-1. 14s for Fast Track, Shaw Step, The Hooded Claw and Jan Van Hoof, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Nice easy start to the card here, James.
Yeah, you've given me real two easy races. I mean, the Stewards Consolation, the Stewards Cup itself, 28 runner sprints that are extremely competitive and not easy to assess. And we've got a very short price favourite, haven't we, really, in Direct Times. He is very progressive for Peter Schappelheim, a lightly race. We have not really seen too much of him. And like I say, 6-1 in a race as competitive as that, I think is a little bit on the skinny side, although he could well be betting his mark. He's got the useful services of Tom McCann, a very, very useful £5 claimer, but he was actually beating a handicap off 82 when he was a short price favourite at Haydock. No real excuses when claiming the Roses beat him that day. Yes, he was impressive at Newmarket last time out, but he's £8 higher, £11 higher than when he got beat at Haydock, and I will be going elsewhere when he's that kind of price. One that's interesting, sneaking at the bottom of the weights, is Rex Imperator. He's obviously won the main race only a couple of years ago off a mark of 104. He's running tomorrow off 85. He's been switched to David O'Mara's yard, and like I say, David O'Mara generally gets the best out of his horses. It's taken a while. He's had five starts without success before he got off a mark at Thirsk, winning by a neck from It Must Be Faith, but he's only gone up £2, 85. He's £19 lower than when he won the Stewards Cup. Sneaked in here off bottom weight. And I think that could well be key. A lot of confidence gained, perhaps, by that win at first, getting him back on track And I just think Ex-Imperator could be the one for David O'Mara. Of the others, Charles Molson, I could give him a bit of a chance. For Patrick Chammons, he's reasonably consistent. Another old horse that might well bounce back is Hoofit, who didn't quite get in the main race off top weight, but a very, very competitive sprint. And like I say, I'm going to take a chance on the David O'Mara trainer Ex-Imperator.
Ex-Imperator for James then in the Stewards Cup Consolation. Moving to the 2:35 at Goodwood next. This one is the Educated Child Stakes, which is a Class 2 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for the 3-year-olds and the market headed by Dartmouth, who's 9-2. 8-1 for Barish and Navancia. 9s for Senrima. Antiquarium is 10-1 with King Bolette, and 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. We'll start with Dartmouth here, James, for Sir Michael Stout. Was an easy winner at Ascot last time.
Proven progressive, and he's running some very competitive 3-year-old handicaps this year. Started off his season behind Jack Hobbs at Sandown, and then he won a very competitive event back at Sandown. 6th at the Royal Meeting at Ascot before winning a very competitive 50 grand handicap by 4 lengths last time out. Handicap was only putting him up £6, which I thought was rather lenient, because that was a really strong race he won at Ascot. There was only 8 runners, so it could have been slightly more competitive number-wise, but I think those at the head of affairs are pretty decent animals, and he's owned by the Queen, son of Dubawi, highly progressive, and I think Dartmouth will be hard to beat. He is 9-2, he's rather short compared to the rest, but he's got plenty of improvement. Barish, second favourite for Frankie Dettori and Richard Hannon, took a little while to get going. He's another Al-Shakab horse that cost a fair bit of money, and in his maidens, didn't get off the mark to the 4th attempt. But first going to handicap was pretty impressive, winning at York back on the 10th of July. Good effort for Mark of 80, up £7. I don't think we'll stop him, but I don't think he's quite as progressive as Dartmouth. Navancia represents Mark Johnson, who continues in absolutely cracking form. Made a winning, won on the second handicap start at Newmarket. Won on debut at Carlisle, and related, I think, to Yavanna's pace, somewhere along the lines, the old popular stayer. And Navancia, she's only going to improve with time and experience. She's another one that's unexposed. So it's a real competitive race, but I do think the Queen's Dartmouth will be very, very hard to beat.
Dartmouth, the one to beat then in that race. Moving on to the big race of the afternoon, or one of the big races of the afternoon, the Nassau Stakes. It's part of the British Champion Series. It's a fillies Group 1 over a mile and a quarter. And the betting headed by Legatissimo, who's 7-4. Diamonds and Rubies is 3-1. Lady of Dubai, 11-2, 7s for Star of Seville, and 10-1 for Wedding Vow, 14s or bigger for the others. Legatissimo and Diamonds and Rubies have recent form together, both top-class fillies. Do you see it between the two here?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we've got the French Oaks winner in Star of Seville as well. Couldn't rule out her at 7-1, but Legatissimo and Diamonds and Rubies were first and second at the Curragh in the Irish Oaks, and Legatissima, I was a little bit disappointed by her that day. She's having a few hard races now, and ultimately Diamonds and Rubies did beat her, and you're getting 3-1 Diamonds and Rubies, 7-4 Legatissimo, and for me, I would be sticking with Diamonds and Rubies. I think value at the prices beat Legatissimo last time. There's no real excuses for the David Wasserman filly, and I do think with Ryan Moore injured as well, I think that could be a key. So for me, Diamonds and Rubies will be the selection. Star of Seville, I think, is overpriced. She got absolutely knocked over in the Oaks at Epsom, alike Diamonds and Rubies. So completely forget that run. Given a very good ride by Frankie Dettori when she won the French Oaks. Obviously, that was a mile and a quarter. And I think she doesn't stay a mile and a half. So I think back at a mile and a quarter, perhaps she could reverse some of the Oaks form. But Diamonds and Rubies are with a selection at 3-1, and probably an each-way bet on Star of Seville at sevens for the dream team of Frankie Dettori and John Gosden.
Yeah, and John Gosden's won this race for the last 3 years as well, so obviously taking out what he's running in there. Let's move on to the final race. This is the Stewards' Cup. It's a Heritage Handicap, a Class 2 event over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Only 28 of them in the lineup here, James. Nice, easy puzzle to solve for you to finish with. Magical Memory is the 6-1 favourite, 7-1 for Huntsman's Close, 14s for Tropics. There's been a move on Ruayan, who's 20s into 14s. It's 14-1 for Poyle Vinny, Discussion to Follow, and Tatty Slew, 16s for Related, and 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. A bit of a pin job, really, I suppose, in some respects, but help us out.
Yeah, Magical Memory, the favourite. Very rare, a 3-year-old has actually managed to sneak in this race, because generally they're not high enough to get in with their weight for age, but off 102, Magical Memory does sneak in with that 6-1 penalty gain for that 100 grand success at Newmarket. Won impressively by two lengths, but not many got involved that day. And against the older horses, off this new high mark of 102, could be runnable, and I wouldn't be backing him at that price. I do like Huntsman's Close for George Baker and Roger Charlton. Roger's done a really good job of this horse. He was a tricky customer for Michael Bell, but Roger's really overturned him. Started off at 83, making a winning debut for the stable at Windsor back in April 2014. And since then, he's won another couple of races this year. Back at Windsor again, really good second at Newmarket. As long as they can keep him under control in the preliminaries, I think he's got an excellent chance. Although he is stuck in the middle of the track, which is a little bit of a concern, because I do think you want to be drawn quite high. And that would be a concern for Magical Memory, drawn one. He's going to have to hope that the far side have a chance against those on the stand side. Tropics, the old boy, ran an absolute cracker in second in the July Cup. Caught on the line by Muhara. That was unfortunate. He wasn't disgraced when sixth in this race off a mark of 106. A couple of years ago behind Rex Imperatorius, I've put up for the consolation race, but off a mark of 113. Handicapper has rated him higher. 117 now is his official mark, so he's arguably £4 well in despite carrying 9/13, but that'll be a tremendous performance off top weight in this race. But I do want to go with one drawn high, and I'm going to take a chance with related. Tom Markhan takes a ride for David Simcock. Ran a cracking race from fourth in the Wokingham. Good fourth in the Bunbury Cup as well. I just think he's the best for me of those that are drawn high. And if Tom Markhan can find a bit of strip of ground near that stands rail from stall 24, I think Related could have a very, very good chance. So Related, 16-1 will be my each way bet for the Stewards' Cup.
Okay, each way selection for James then in the Stewards' Cup. Let's have a quick summary, James, as usual, if you'll spin us through your selections for Saturday one more time.
Yep. Consolation for the Stewards' Cup. We've gone for a former Stewards' Cup winner in Rex Imperator. David O'Mara might have just got him back on track with that win at first the other day, and he's well drawn in stall 25. Dartmouth is very progressive, and he is the one for me in the three-odd handicap. The free turn in the south takes Diamonds and Rubies, beat Legatissimo last time out, and I see no real reason why she should reverse the form this time, so I'm going to go for the bigger odds, Diamonds and Rubies, and then finally in the 3:45. We've gone for an each-way one in the Stewards' Cup from a high draw in Related for David Simcock and Tom Markhand.
Good work, James. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
I will do.
There you go. The thoughts of James Millman on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:35pm. Mick Norton, Rory DeLaghi and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. It's the fifth and final day of Glorious Goodwood. Good card at Newmarket as well. Doncaster and Thirsk complete the afternoon lineup. It's Hamilton and Lingfield in the evening. And there's also an afternoon over in Ireland from day six of the Galway Festival. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.